and in walked Ronald McDonald into KFC singing a Chinese proverb.
Okay, yeah. Ronald.
That sounds like a fight waiting to happen.
The colonel.
The colonel wasn't there.
Oh, that's why Ronald came up. He came up sassing. Ready to go.
You heard the armies were out.
Yeah, he came out throwing hands. What is up, guys? ZGP Power Hour, episode 155. What are we talking about today, guys?
We're talking about making communities and parts of community. So, guys, this is a low-key one. You know, we're just kind of chilling, talking with you guys, talking amongst ourselves. It's going to be a little bit of Ryan D complaining about stuff. A little bit of these guys.
you know, I'm the old one here, so it's
going to
be a rant.
Yeah. Going to be some rant.
So, some back in my days. And
Yeah.
All right, before we get started,
yeah, we're doing our stuff, guys.
Yeah, product shout out. If you haven't seen, recently we started doing some new products, some old products, some whatever we got. Today we got some new ones, some bling for your engine bay.
Bling, bling.
In my hands, I have our ATSV water pump pulley. This one is, let me double check. It is the six rib Sonic pulley because
there's a difference.
There is a difference, Cruising Sonic, guys. That is why there is an option on the website.
Tyler is saying that because we recently had a customer purchase one for a Sonic and he had a crew say, well, I thought they were the same engine. We have a different choice for a reason, boys and girls.
They are the same engine. That does not mean that the belt drive system is the same.
Correct.
But anyway, these are machined in house. They are dope looking, especially I really like the clear. I know, you know, the anodized black. It's always salty. Great, but nothing more than just a nice little touch of something new in your engine bay.
I feel like if you're going to spend the money on something to show off in the engine, you want to show off.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's actually something that is not on my Sonic yet.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as I saw it, I'm like, man, like, because when Tim Cooling designed the water pump pulley for the ATSV, they're like, oh, we need an ATSV to put it on. Bring your car. And I brought it in, and it's like, it's beautiful.
Oh,
yeah.
And the like, when you pop the hood, it's like
so good because it is right there.
Front. Car without it catching my eye.
Yeah,
I know.
I will say, like, this is my old school Need for Speed Underground Ricer talking. But man, if we made that like blue or like, you know, like the AN fitting blue and red
anodized blue.
Woo,
yeah,
baby.
See, now if you're part of the car community where you hang out with your hoods open and you're showing off the money that you spent on modding your car. Perfect add-on.
That's true.
Bing, bang, boom.
That's true.
Ryan, what else we got?
Guys, we got merch. Brand new merch. Y'all see them over here. We got new black hoodies. Right now, kind of like it's perfect bonfire weather right now. Yep. Getting there.
I had one last week.
And, yeah, he did. Or it's getting a little cold weather if you're up in the little northern parts. Kind of like that's only 4 degrees here today. So, guys, we got both pink. And we got yellow. And no, it's not girl and boys. I look great in the pink one, but I look great in everything.
Yep.
So, you know, that's, yeah. They should be on the website.
Monday, Tuesday.
So make sure to get them. And remember, guys, we make more stuff when you buy stuff.
Yeah.
So it's also super comfy.
It's a great base sweatshirt by itself. On the back, you can't see it, but it says Go Fast Enough Broke. Down the sleeve, we got the ZZP and ZZ Performance. Looking good. Get yourself some new merch.
Absolutely.
But on to the topic, car communities. I'll be the first to say it. The internet has ruined car communities as a whole.
Man, 1,000,000%.
Which sucks.
Oh my God.
There are some great people out there.
Correct.
I mean, the dichotomy, is that the right word?
Yeah.
The difference between the dichotomy. The internet car people and real life car people is so different.
Well, yeah.
And it's so hard to convey that to people, especially new people getting into car modding. Mm-hmm. You go out on Facebook and it's just a bunch of toxicity.
Yeah.
And, you know, that may be Facebook pushing its algorithm or whatever.
It's disappointing because it kind of goes along with, I don't know, like, you know, I'd hate to make fun of myself, but like with me being old and the whole like, you know,
I know what you're gonna say.
The words that come out of your mouth, you should be responsible for.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So, like, and the problem is with the internet is that you can't get punched in the face when you say something you shouldn't.
Yeah. You're very right. Because
I would never go up to somebody's car at a car show and be like, that car is stupid. But then if you post a picture of your car, like, you're going to have five people say it's stupid.
Yeah, like, bro, why would you even do that?
Yeah.
You know? Why are you wasting... why are you wasting your time with a four cylinder? You should be doing V8 stuff.
Could have LS swapped it.
Well, yeah, because you when on the internet, you have no responsibility. You're a guy behind a keyboard. You have no personal responsibility to that guy you're looking in the face. Like, no one would ever come up to you and like look in your face and say your car is stupid, because if they mouth off too much, you're gonna slap in their mouth. You know, I do not promote violence. I'm just saying, but they're gonna have a confrontation. Versus on the internet, they can have that confrontation whenever they want.
Yeah.
And people are saying it in the chats already, but in the forum days, you didn't have that. Facebook, I'll say, social media itself has had a negative impact overall on the car community, because it just allows people not have to think about a post. They just post up, get verbal, they get mental diarrhea, they post up whenever they want.
I mean,
and they can fight, and information is lost. It does the cars community overall.
That's you know, a whole nother subject is, you know, forums. You can still go back to old cobaltss.net threads and read through and find all sorts of knowledge of people doing stuff, and now it just gets lost in the Facebook. You know.
Well, how many times have you said, like, my favorite one lately?
Facebook vomit verse.
Yeah.
My favorite thing right now is, like, there'll be a headlight. I saw some, and I'll say the Cobalt SS community Facebook page. So you have 10 posts a week about, has anyone ever run these headlights? Bro, these headlights have been out for 20 years. Yes, people have been running.
No one's ever bought them.
Versus you go on the forums, you can search this headlight, you find a whole thread of a bunch of different people doing
that. Yeah.
So, but you can't do that on Facebook groups.
No, oh, man. Not. Just off the top of my head, I remember reading through and participating in the giant suspension thread.
Yes.
On cobaltss.net. And it was photos of every single different coilover kit, every single different lowering spring.
Oh my God, yes.
You know, and people would put their tire dimensions and what they're running and all this, and you could just pop in there. And now it's, oh, well, I bought some Racelands. What do you guys think? Well, why'd you buy them?
Yeah.
And then post about
them. Yeah, then post about them. Yeah. All right, shout out to Cobalt. I see you out there talking your stuff. Boy, you ain't fast in a snowball. Come grab a lane.
Dan North said, I wish keyboards had a slap button.
Oh my God, yeah. So actually, I think all of us at the table here, you know what one of my favorite things about forums? Build threads.
Ooh.
Build threads. When someone would post their car and update it along with every part of their build to update it. That was the stuff that really got me going. Because you would see, like, oh man, I want to run this wheel and tire on my car. What does it look like here? You know, then this guy, hey, I ran this or this offset. And you can say, oh, maybe I can run 3 mil more. I want to do this, but.
See, and then when they have issues, they're going to post like, hey, I tried this part. It didn't work for XYZ.
Yep.
The information's there. You can find out. Now you know that you don't have to try it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the.
Yeah. Or I have the same issue. What isn't going to work? You know, rather than just, oh, I got a code for a MAF sensor, buy a MAF sensor.
Yeah.
You know, people would actually break down. And that's not to say that information is completely lost on Facebook. I mean, there's a lot of people that are very knowledgeable. But also at the same time, the people that are knowledgeable in doing things with their car typically aren't
posting a lot.
Posting on Facebook a lot.
They really aren't. And that's a fantastic point.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tim.
I was going to say, hopefully it's the same thing you were going to say, mm-hmm. but we battle this a lot in ZZP. We assume that the Facebook community is the community.
Yeah.
But what everybody needs to realize is that the Facebook community is a very small window of like the car modification people.
Yeah.
Like there's so many more people doing stuff.
Way more.
That either aren't on that page, don't post.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like it's very big. So don't think that when you see a post on Facebook that's really what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. There's much more going on. And I was kind of to piggyback off of that. Like a lot of times in building a car community overall. So
Lewis, if we made a forum, I like where your head's at, but if we made a forum, nobody would know how to use them anymore.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah.
But we have to have YouTube walkthroughs.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There's that.
But the customer doesn't watch the video. So many people have like an attention span of like this short.
So I find too.
There we go.
So too, with going on Facebook again, the kind of toxicity of social media too, you have these people that are doing a lot of the talking And then people regard them as people that actually know what they're talking about.
Oh, yeah, that
like,
too.
There's a bit of misinformation. Like, I post a lot, and I've done this, and I race my car, but I'm helping the community. Are you really? Are you just racing your own car? Are you making anything for the community? And sometimes it's a popularity contest. Like, you
can have it certainly is.
People that build the car that's the most popular and whatever and not know anything about the platform or know very little about the platform. Or it's popular to trash on this company or popular to trash on this. And then they get their cronies. And it's an echo chamber. Facebook is an echo chamber of toxicity.
It is. And on the we should make a forum portion of it, I would love to have a forum. But it's almost impossible now to convince people to go to another website.
Correct.
They have Facebook and Instagram on their phone. That's what they're clicking on. They're not because a couple Track Midwest guys created a forum last year, and I started a build thread on the Blue Cobalt, and it was cool to go back through and look through my posts and but nobody's on there.
Yeah.
And nobody will go. Like, they're trying hard to promote it, but it's,
well, it's social it's media is very easily accessible.
Yeah.
You got to press every button with your Facebook app or your Instagram app. And, oh, this car got this much, so this is the most popular car, which is not necessarily true. You know, like,
yeah.
There's a bunch of other things that go into, Hey, Gordon, so I'm going to post out something that I make fun of it a lot. So Gordon Barclay just said, what find funny is when one person has a motor issue and they say the motor is junk, then the haters jump on the bandwagon, i.e. 1.4 liter. Generally, the issue is driven by terrible maintenance. That is 1,000,000% true. By the way, car guys, we're the only guys that say junk. Like, oh, parts junk. Like,
I don't know why that
I don't know. Say, yep, junk.
There are so many people in emails that are like, oh, yeah, this is junk.
Yeah, I'm like, junk. No, you messed it up. But, it's fine. But, overall, like, there's a lot of one of my favorite misinformations is that rotaries are unreliable.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of my I love to combat it because if you talk to anybody, and this is not a stereotype I'm about to say, this is a cultural thing. Very close friends of mine of Puerto Rican ethnicity, they love rotaries. I have two or three of them. They know how to make some rotaries powerful.
Man, you go to the drag strip on like the rotary days.
Oh my God, the Ricans are out there and they are going fast.
Fast.
Fast. And they're
like tin cans.
Yes.
I would ever want to be in.
And they're like, oh yeah, I haven't opened up this motor in like 7 years.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, rotaries are junk. They are,
And they're spinning them to 13K.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do.
Yeah, you do have to do that. They need revs.
Yeah. But that's a few of the negative things. But on a part of building a community, what are some things that you guys think that, what does every car community need to build a strong, long-lasting community? Like, what are some? I want to hear what everyone's thinking. You guys in the chat too. Tell us what you think. What are some things that need to happen for a car community, aftermarket car community, to build a strong, supportive community?
I mean, I think one thing, and now this can get kind of convoluted with what you were just saying, is there needs to be something or some people to look up to and mm-hmm. forward to, somebody's car. So take, for example, say, Matt's drag car.
Yeah.
It is a dedicated 8-second, chassis, like full built.
Tube chassis, yeah, all that stuff, but it's beautiful.
But that is something that everyone could look at and be like, okay, I'm never going to take it quite that far, but I'll
show my friends that this is what I could do. This is what my car is capable of.
And it's kind of like the base model Cobalt guys. Our most viewed part on our website is the 2224 supercharger kit.
Yep.
Because every single person with a base model thinks, all right, one day I'm going to buy that kit.
Yep.
I'm going to buy that supercharger kit, and I'm going to supercharge my 2.2.
And read that page.
95% aren't going to do it. But that's kind of the thing that people need to see. But at the same time, whomever that is and whatever car that is, the person needs to actually be knowledgeable and actually be doing something. And, not everyone goes to the track, but there also needs to be a good amount of people out there doing things with their car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to piggyback off of what Tyler said, because that's going to be my answer. Like, you need people that will – you guys in the chat when watching will understand. You need people that are going to put money into the vehicles.
Yeah, like this actual money.
Actual money. This is why the Honda scene is such on, and it bugs me personally on the Cobalt level. Obviously, guys, you know I'm a diehard LNF fan. Cobalt in general, I love the Cobalt Delta chassis platform, but you have these Honda guys that will buy a 95 S-Box hatchback, and they will swap a $15,000 engine in there with ITBs, make this thing beautiful, and drive the snot out of it.
Yeah.
And that car will change owners 15 more times before it's over. But unfortunately, in our community, we just don't seem to have that, which is sad.
It's a little frustrating, too, because like it seems like this community doesn't appreciate the affordability of building these cars.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Like, buy a Ford Turbo whatever. Buy a, you know, any other car, and everything is way more money. I mean,
oh god,
Tyler over there with a Subaru.
Yep.
Like, oh yeah, it's a sweet car, but holy crap, like, when he quotes us the prices on some of the products, it's what, like,
what'd
oh
you
my
say
gosh.
Your tune update would be for E85?
Each tune is $600 to $800 depending on my fuel.
Each tune. Each single one.
Our LSJ remote tuning is it's like
$210.
$210.
And then remote tune updates are $60.
And if we charge them.
Like one of a really great customer the other day went from 42s to 60s. I didn't charge him a PCM update. Like his car I based a new 42 file off of because it ran so well, and he was, you know, super great at communicating, took great logs. So he's like, hey man, I'm buying 60s, do I need to buy the PCM update? I'm like, eh, don't worry about it. And then, you know, and I'm sure Tim is on the same page, I have hundreds of revisions with some people that have gone through when Al was tuning into, like, for $200?
Yeah.
And each tune you get is $600 to $800.
And yeah, I definitely have some files. Like when I do a tune, my first tune is an A.
Okay.
Second one is a B.
Yeah.
Next one is a C.
Yeah.
I have had some that are like ZO.
Oh my God. Like 50 tunes in. Jesus.
Yeah. Like, you know, there are a few that have a lot.
Yeah.
You know? I think half the time you're tuning around a problem that the customer can't figure out.
Yeah.
But you know, it happens sometimes. I mean, we do what we can to help them diagnose their car. Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, sometimes you just end up doing a lot of revisions based on a car just having something different than every other car.
Yeah.
It really does bother me. And like, I don't mean to, you know, be angry about it. It's frustrating when you have a customer, like they'll email you and they'll email you like an hour later, like, did you get my scan? Like, it's just like, come on, man. Like, on like no other platform by any other vendor can you expect a tune revision within the hour.
Yeah, I know.
That you know what?
Like, I can do that sometimes. Yeah. I will have a couple customers that, like, when I send them a file, they'll, like, send me a scan within, like, 30 minutes. I don't know what they're doing, but they do it. And I will get like 4 revisions in a day.
Yeah.
You know, pretty easily. Yeah.
So to kind of for you translate what you guys have out there is, it's part of being a community too, is knowing how, and it's going to sound arrogant when I say it, but you all will get it, but knowing how good you got it, essentially. Yeah. Because, you know, seriously, guys, if you guys go to any other market, so if you go to Vivid Racing is a great example of what I'm about to say. Vivid Racing is a great company. They sell a lot of parts for hundreds of thousands of cars. Great company. I got a few parts for the Snowball off of them. They've been doing videos on their Instagram lately about how to build X car. They just did an NA Miata. An NA Miata catback is $1,200.
Oh, man.
Our LSJ, you could do a header to the back for like $600.
I know.
For a 2.5, like a mid-length header downpipe with, you know, the 2.5 with a resonator muffler would be like $700, something like that.
Yeah.
But like, and then when we have...
And then people don't, like, they forget to appreciate that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, it's pretty hard work to make a quality product like that affordable.
Yeah.
You know, what's a catback for your Subaru?
About same thing, depending on the brand, depending on what you want. Easily low thousands.
Yeah.
Man.
Guys, that's for a cat. We have one catback over 1,000. That's our ATS-V one.
Two. Mm-hmm. CTS-V Sport.
Oh, sorry. CTS-V Sport. Two. Yeah, the CTS-V Sport.
Like valves valves and
yeah, they have like, valves and all yeah, this that, other yeah. stuff. Even our 2-liter ATS cat-back, which is crazy, and our Camaro one, they're both at 1,000.
And like, and here's another thing that people forget too is like when you buy a cat-back, like the definition cat-back generally means from where your feet are to the bumper of the car.
After the downpipe.
There are some companies that sell catbacks that are more like, what's say, an axle back.
Yeah.
And they're like $1,000 or more still.
Yeah.
Like, it's wild. Like, our ATS-V catback, it's like $1,000, let's say. But it's like 304 stainless steel. It's a valved catback.
Yeah.
And it is from where your feet are all the way back. Yeah. Like,
that's a lot of metal.
It is a lot.
It's a big box.
It's a heavy exhaust system. Yeah. There's a lot of material there.
There's a lot of fab time. So much
fab time. Like, you know, we'll have people complaining about the prices and it's like, you guys have no idea the amount of like, I mean, number one, to make that catback, the first catback probably costs ZZP $5,000 or $6,000.
Double that, or more.
Like, I wish I actually had some data on this, but like the amount of time it takes to fabricate this exhaust and then grab all these different mufflers and resonators and try them in different orders and like drive different the cars.
Places,
That first catback is easily what I said, or maybe upwards of maybe $10,000.
Yeah.
And,
so,
and it takes like a long time to make $100 or $200 on a catback to like pay that back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, but that's just one of the things that goes into building the community. You know, we doing the R&D and then we hope you guys will buy it. But, you know, again, when.
And those parts, we are, like Tim said, we're basing all of that work on, okay, we're going to be selling this for 10 years, you know, 10, 20 years, whatever it may be. So it's expensive at the onset, but over time it'll pay off. And, you know, on two different levels, one thing is parts availability.
Yes.
As a market, you know, you see a lot of cars that may have been missed by aftermarket companies, you know, whether it be GM or any other ones. And those you don't see a following, even if they might have been a good platform to work with. But I think the biggest thing, and we've talked about Cobalts a lot, but it is, I mean, it's our largest market.
Yep.
I think the one thing that has kind of brought on a lot of the animosity in the groups and kind of taken away from the community lately is there are no more, like, meetups with Cobalt guys. Like, there is one Tale of the Dragon trip, which is a lot to ask for someone to drive that far.
11 hours for us.
And it's a phenomenal time, and I recommend it to everybody, but it's a lot to ask. You know, but even something as simple as
Just local.
Yeah, local, statewide, meets,
anything.
You know, whatever it may be. I bought the Saab, and I'm on all the pages now. Every year, they still do a Saab, what they call a Saab homecoming. And I think it's in, like, Portland, Oregon or something. But they get thousands of people out there.
Most of you guys that are in this chat will not remember the Crate Engine Depot days.
Oh, the real Crate Engine Depot days.
So the real Crate Engine Depot days. That was in my time with there. This is when the Cobalt community overall was at its zenith. We got over 700 Cobalts, I believe.
Wow.
It was 700. We filled up a full dealership.
Yeah.
We cleared it out and filled up a full dealership of Cobalts from across the country. Florida, California, ZZP was there. Everyone showing off their parts, showing off their bills. It was cool because we had all the yellow ones in together, and the red ones, and the blue ones, you know.
Oh,
and
I love that.
And then we had a mix of them. They had a cart. Like, there was so cool to go to the Crate Engine. Like, the first ones were small, and then they got countrywide for a few years, and then all of a sudden, people... Exactly, Dean said, back in my day indeed.
Yeah.
Like, and I've been in the Cobalt community since 2006.
Yeah.
Like, when you get to be my age, Mike! Guys, I already know Mike is 1 year older than me. I would fight that guy. But
then by the time I started here, we went in 2018 and there was
like 10 people.
12 cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, part of that is marketing on the event. But those are the events because you're not behind a keyboard. You're
meeting people, you're seeing their cars, you're actually getting that interaction and understanding who these people are.
I'm gonna call y'all Eagle Tech guys out now. At our Dino Days, ZZP's Dino Days,
yep.
We brought the meat. You guys got to come here. There were discounts. We gave a fish line the bait. We said, all right, guys, come on out. The Eagle Tech guys, y'all did not show up. We had to combine three platforms for the Camaro and the ATS, the Sonic, and the Eagle Tech guys to be even a quarter of the 3,800 guys. The 3,800 guys, they showed up and they filled up our entire lot.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Preston.
All the way down.
Hey, Preston, the kid that you're going to have someday will probably be in first grade by the time you get a billet waistcoat.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Preston.
Oh, no.
He's already dead, dude. Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry, Preston. I'm so sorry. I will get you that waistcoat.
No, don't do it. You got to hold out now. Oh, my God. That was amazing. I am so proud of you right now.
I'm sorry. Preston was in first grade in 2006? How young are you, dude? I didn't realize you were that young.
Oh, my God.
2006? I was 16.
Dude.
Oh, man.
I was almost 30. You were not.
I graduated in 1998.
I graduated in 2007. What the heck? Oh, my God.
Well, to bring this back.
Preston Lee's chat. Oh, my God. Preston, we love you. We're giving you some crap. But no, seriously, guys. The 300 guys, they filled up the whole parking lot, the side of the parking lot, all down the building. They came out from all over the state, out of state, from Canada. We couldn't get Cobalt guys from across the dang street to come up. Some Ohio guys came up, and we appreciate them. But, like, it wasn't what it should have been.
Man, Gordon Barclay just brought up something funny. He said Fast Furious killed the community. That's possible.
I disagree.
It did seem to go downhill right around there. Back when Fast and Furious 1 came out, I had a first Chevy Eclipse. Yep, I had a 92 Eclipse. It was running like low 12s. It had like an HKS livery on the side. Like,
what did you say?
Yeah, I said livery.
For all you people, don't be ignorant like Tim. It's livery. The answer is livery. I will fight Tim and Stone Cold.
Put your opinion in the comments now. How do you pronounce livery or livery?
Yeah.
There's only
in the comments now.
And don't Google it. Like, just decide how you want to
no,
say it.
No, there is no decide how you want to say it. There's a right way and a wrong way. I'm a guy.
Anyway. So this movie comes out, and like, honestly, I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I love the movie. I still love that movie.
I still love that movie.
I went with a group of like people that were older than me, and they were had their muscle car, more muscle cars. And yes, Matt Beekhoff was there. Zoom was there. A few of our friends were there.
Yeah,
they all hated it.
Really,
they hated the movie. It was my dream to live in a house
like, with a bunch
of four of your best friends. All of you had like the sweetest cars in the city potentially.
Yeah,
yep.
It
was my dream.
Dude, that movie, my dad told me it was all physics. That people don't do this. I'm like, Dad, did you see the car was green and had the lights on it? I wanted the lights.
I was like, I wasn't quite there. Like, me and my roommate had sweet vehicles, so it's like we had like two people in one apartment.
Yeah.
but you know, that's the lifestyle that we wanted. The scene exploded at that point. At that point now, like, the Hondas are coming out of the woodwork.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, the 075 in the Grand Rapids area where all the Honda guys. And then there's, another group. Like, it got big around there.
It was a big import boom. I would say Fast and Furious 100% was the import boom for America that
you
needed.
We had another couple years of, like, you go to the meat spot, which was a mini mall parking lot, and we would pretty much fill the entire parking lot.
Oh, my God.
V8s, carburetors, throttle bodies, everything.
Yep.
Like, everything is there. And we all appreciated our stuff. And what we would do is we would occasionally meet up. When I say occasionally, I mean, like, every night, a couple times a night.
Yeah.
But we would, like, we had three drag race spots, three primary spots, and we would, like, we would line up races. Like, we're going to go to the spot, we're going to line up these four pairs of cars, we're going to race them, and then we're going to come back here. And it was great. We would show up, we would do our thing, Everybody would leave. If traffic was on that street we were racing on, like, everybody would get out of the way, traffic would go through, and then we would do our race. That was awesome. I had like a good like a few years of that. It was amazing. Oh, and then all of a sudden, I don't know what changed, but like the takeover-ish thing started to happen. Now we would have we would show up to the race spot and there would be hundreds of people there spectating.
Oh yeah.
And these people would crowd out into the roads and stop traffic. And then we would have somebody who would have to do a burnout across the race spot and like do donuts. And then like all of us old heads, like, you know, I wasn't that old at the time. I was still in my like late teens, early 20s. Mm-hmm. And then we would just leave and then the party would continue until the cops showed up. And I'm like, man, this is so disappointing. And now takeovers are happening, which, like, I don't quite understand it.
No. Guys, I'm gonna say I'm gonna take an official chance. We don't appreciate takeovers. No, we don't support insane. Them. It is ruining the car scene.
Like people already hate us. Yes.
Cars, guys.
We modify car people.
We have cars with louder than stock exhausts, and we maybe drive a little more aggressive than the average commuter person. Like the average community already hates us. And now we have these like these people, which I don't even know who these people are. I don't think they know cars.
They have a car. They spend a little money because right now it is a lot of pay to play. They get their scat packs. Or their cats. You know,
a lot of V8 Chryslers and all the standard like V8 cars that I think all of us hate.
Yeah.
Pretty much like when you see a takeover, like every car in the takeover, like we hate. I wouldn't drive any vehicle that's in a
takeover.
It's
a sedan G35, the VQ boys with a straight pipe.
Would never own it.
A Mopar of some sort. And they're always in the middle of a street and doing a takeover. And the whole difference is, oh, we're just having fun. This and that. Like, no, you guys are drawing unwanted attention. Like,
and people are dying.
Yeah, people are dying. Yeah,
literally, every
at these takeovers. Yeah. And now you're gonna get people in the comments that watch this. Oh, you guys are against fun. There's nothing fun about a takeover. You're literally putting people in danger, and people are acting. They get the terrible group mob mentality.
Oh, it's 100% a mob mentality.
Yeah. Back in my day.
Oh boy, he said it.
Like when we did the races, like we didn't race next to people.
No.
Yeah.
There weren't people at the finish line. There might be one person standing off to the side to call it back.
Yeah.
But like. We didn't race next to people. We didn't do burnouts. No, if we did a burnout, it would be a calculated burnout for traction. Like just a small one.
We had a spot in Flint. It was one of the old GM plants. They had a giant compound. And so we'd meet up at the Rite Aid. We'd hang out there for a little while. And then a couple guys would talk and they'd want to race. And we'd head over to this old compound. And you'd get the people lined up at the start line. Mm-hmm. And then they were gone. And then they would take off, come around the block and park. And then we'd run them a couple more times, and it was so safe for what it was. Because, it wasn't a public road. There was no traffic. There were no people.
The only people you were putting in danger were people that know they need to be in danger of being there.
Yeah, like, when we raced, I don't remember anybody having passengers.
No.
It was literally, like, one versus person two. And then, like, the worst case scenario is that they would hit each other or one vehicle, like, spin out or something.
Yeah, or hit a curb. And
I've seen, like, you know, probably hundreds of those races over those few years, those few good years of it. And, like, I never saw, like, you would see somebody kind of lose control or whatever, but I never saw anybody really crash.
Yeah.
No.
Like, the worst thing I saw was somebody's throttle stuck and they, like, spun out into the ditch kind of thing. Like, but that was, like, a throttle stick. And they didn't hit anybody.
Yeah.
Like, they were by themselves. Like, it was...
They damaged their own vehicle.
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't want to use the term safe, but, I mean, it was, like... It was pretty safe.
As it could be.
Safe as it could be for what we were doing.
Like, the takeover thing, like, what I don't understand, and, like, I don't, like I said, the commuter driver people already hate us. And then you guys actually, like, stop intersections. Yeah. And you're hitting pedestrians.
Yeah, pedestrians, like, other cars.
This is throwing not stuff at cool. cars.
They're stomping
like, out of the passenger window.
Yeah,
when like, I remember seeing the video. There's a lady with an MR spider. She's trying to get through, and these dudes like they're mad. She's breaking up the takeoff. So they're jumping on her car, stomping it, and like vandalizing this woman's car. I'm like, guys, there's lines. Like
it's the whole mob mentality thing to where it's like everybody escalates everybody to where
this person
simply trying to drive through the intersection made a bad call. Like I think I would have turned around and probably called the cops and turned around.
Yeah.
But they decided to go through anyway. Probably got pulled out of the car and beat up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For just simply driving to an intersection trying to make
on a
turn.
Public road.
Yeah, on a public road. So
that's disappointing.
That is
be the one law-abiding citizen.
Yeah, like you're actually doing a thing. Like, if you're going to do that, go off in like the back of a plant. Like people, takeovers like that are not new. It's just taking over. No one ever took over a freaking, they didn't act an ass in the middle of a public street.
I've done more burnouts across intersections than I can count in my life.
We have all street race and highway race, and we've done all that stuff.
But like, I don't do it in an unsafe manner.
Yeah.
Like the worst thing I'm gonna do is maybe bump into somebody or something. Like,
or crash your own car.
Like, but we all have seatbelts on, and we're all in cars. Like, I don't even do that stuff really anymore because I'm old and the enjoyment versus like risk is not worth it for me.
Yeah. Like, and you know, you do see a lot of tracks getting shut down, you know, by annoying neighborhoods. But the access to motorsports is out there.
It is very much out
there. You can grow. And any test and tune day, while they may suck because you got to sit in line, is affordable.
Oh, yeah.
It's affordable. You can do skid pad days if you're wanting to, drift.
Like, you can talk about any local autocross. I mean,
autocross are cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the most expensive one I've seen was $45.
Yeah. The Granton one is 75, but it's
that's on a track. Yeah.
I fully promote full legal racing. 100%.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, no matter what kind of racing you want to do, there is a place you can pay and you go there and do it. But like, if you want to horse around on the street, you can do that as well. You just have to know, like, if, you know, I've got these sets of curves and I really want to hit them hard. Like, you know, you can do that. Just, you know, be ready to, if you see a car coming, I guess this ain't the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe or circle around and like do it again. Like, you know, just don't risk other people's lives because, like, you know, just like emissions are coming down and we had to, like, you know, make steps, you know, in the direction of keeping our business alive. Like, do the same. Like, if you want your driver's license, if you want your car to stay nice, like,
just common sense.
It's okay to be like, I guess, you know, darn it, there's somebody in front of me. Like,
I won't
hit it next time.
Don't pass them on the double yellow. And
yeah,
like,
don't do any of that crazy stuff.
That's again, like, another thing. Normal traffic people do not like car people.
Yeah.
Because they think they're obnoxious. Just don't be that.
Yeah.
Don't ride their ass. Don't pass them on double yellows. Like, it's just.
I had this guy today. I was coming back from the chiropractor. A guy in a matte black spray painted, like, 98 Lumina or Monte Carlo or something.
Was it two-door or four-door?
It was a two-door.
So that was a Monte Carlo.
The Monte Carlo, yeah. So it was a Monte Carlo. All matte black, blacked out, had a Hoonigan sticker. I'm just driving back from the chiropractor, driving to work today, and he is swerving, constantly back and forth, leaning this, swerving. Like, if he came up to a stoplight and there was one spot to the right of me, he cut me off like three times. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Like, my Sonic is faster than this old freaking Monte Carlo. Like, why are you driving
3400?
Like, we out here hooning.
Yeah, like, he's like, has his Hoonigan sticker. I'm like, what are you,
and,
why?
You know, part of that in him, and obviously I don't know the person, but we're all really stupid when we're 16, 18.
Yeah.
Like,
no, that, more than that. We're dumb. We're dumb to our mid-20s.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's all mid-20 guys out there. We're all kind of dumb when we're young. Like,
until
that.
You have a come-to-Jesus moment.
Yeah. Until you have a, oh, man, I'm going to mess this up moment.
Yeah. And Brad, you know, said it earlier. Like, we all started at that terrible point whatever that might be, you know, spray painting dashboards and like all that. You still have to like, yeah, so people are going to make really dumb decisions.
Yep.
But you got to take a step back and think, okay, I was there too.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's true.
And almost all of us were at that point at some point in our lives. So don't make fun of the dude. Like, you know, I just saw today somebody posted they tried a tint job on their taillights and it didn't look great. But don't rip the guy a new one. He's out there doing what we all wanted to do. When
please
we were...
say my quote, Ryan.
No, I think I'll at least say, I don't know what quote you're going to say. What quote you going to say?
I tint my headlights so they work less.
No, like when it comes to a car and you see a car and you're like, man, that car is ugly. Like obviously keep that in mind. That's our opinion. Yeah. Or that's my opinion, let's say, on this car, whatever. And everybody has their opinion. But like, keep in mind, we have to appreciate all the vehicles because like, when there is a car that's not tasteful in our opinion, like if everybody made their car the same as what I think is cool, it would be a world full of the same car.
I wouldn't like it anymore. It's not special.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like we, you know, appreciate it. If they tint their taillights and it doesn't look as good, like it's not my car.
Yeah.
It's fine.
And that's,
if they like it, they like
it. That's how the car industry ended up with hundreds of boring SUVs.
Yes.
That's what we have now because, I like this one. Okay. I'm going to make the same thing, but I make it a little different.
Well, also
like, there are so many different disciplines and style choices that you can go with. Low riders. I mean, that is completely different. You got donks. I mean,
yeah, racing donks. Like
the racing donks.
Are
so cool.
I do have to say, I saw a headline this morning that made me laugh. Carolina squat trucks are officially illegal.
Those are the worst.
But they're officially illegal in the Carolinas.
Hey, that's good for them.
Awesome.
But yeah, like
I think that's funny too. Like I hate it. I hate the whole squatted truck thing. But you know what? It keeps them out of a Sonic and in an ATS-V and my other cars.
But
like,
no matter what, those squatted truck guys, they have their own community. They've got their group of guys that they hang out with, and they talk about their trucks.
As long as they don't rear-end me because they can't see me, I'm fine with it. Like, so, I think it's stupid, but like I'm fine with it. Like, you do your
thing,
I guess.
I'm never going to build a lowrider on hydraulics, but they're cool. I appreciate what they're doing.
And that's what forms it. Forms actually people are like, hey, man, it didn't turn out good. Try this. But now people on Facebook are worried about getting likes and like trying to bash on each other.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of the styles that a lot of people do hate on are the dudes that spend the money in the car scene. Like, so I get a common one, being of my ethnicity and stuff. I get all people say, oh, I hate cars with big wheels and all that stuff. Some of those dudes are putting hundreds of thousands into their cars.
Oh,
they
yeah.
have the most complete builds. They have done an engine. They have done boost on the engine. They have done a suspension. They have done their
dude,
wheels.
They've got donks running single digits in the quarter mile.
Yeah.
Yeah. 24s.
Yes. Like,
that's insane. I'm in.
Those dudes have full interiors, everything done, everything touched. Like a
full interior, stereos,
everything actually touched on these cars. Like, I get it, may not be your style, but you gotta appreciate.
Yeah,
and it's not a white or black thing. It is, they say, there are all ethnicities in that, and they love that stuff.
Oh yeah,
my old roommate builds some like really cool donk stuff. Like, what people do is they'll get a car and they'll maybe put like lift blocks or something cheap and raise it up and put big wheels.
Yeah,
but then my old roommate Steve at Midwest Executives, like he actually will like. He will proper, like, you bring him that car, and he will, like, lower the car a whole bunch of inches on the same wheels.
Yeah.
Like, he notches frames. Like, he like, you know, makes custom inner wheel wells. Like, he makes them sweet. Like,
that's cool.
I love that stuff. Like, that stuff is sweet. And then when I see those donks running, like, single digits in the quarter,
dude,
like,
imagine
my God, that's
like,
cool.
Dude. I would rethink some stuff. I'm like, that's cool. I'm driving around in a snowball like this freaking 600 horsepower car.
This G-body
and this
rolls
G-body.
Up.
I'm like, gap this dude. And he just pulls away from me. I'm like.
Pulls like a 1760.
Yeah, and he gaps the mess out of me. I'm like, yo, I'm giving you the thumbs up. I'm like, dude, that's sick.
Yeah.
I love it. Like, I wouldn't build a donk myself, but man, I love seeing them.
Yeah,
like, and there's so many, like, there's so many different, like, car communities. Like, I still don't understand the whole omni-camber car community.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. Like, I pretty much like the car, love the car, until it gets to the wheel and camber choice.
Yeah, when it's, like, negative.
But see, but that is, if you think about it, and it's the opposite way of the donks, and they or and it's not even donks. The donks are specific because actually, what's crazy, Steve Hickman knows more about donks than I do. he can tell you, no, a donk is this specific year and this specific thing. But the big wheel, like cars, like they're the Omnicamera. That's just their way of like these dudes trying to fit 34s and 24s and all these other big wheels. These dudes trying to fit the widest wheel and get as low as possible.
Yeah.
It's a weird way, you know.
It's weird, and I don't understand it, but like it's hard for me to say it's like stupid. Like you know, whatever you want to do, I guess you want to do. Yeah. I mean, I like to drive my car more than they can.
Yeah, for sure.
Because
for
when they're driving on their sidewall, I can't imagine you could put too many miles on it.
Or they're getting stuck coming into
into the parking lot.
I'm like, wait a second. Like then you know the whole RX-8 guy.
It's hard for me to understand. Like a lot of it too is probably like that RX-8 dude. I think we've all seen the RX-8 videos.
We've all seen.
But that's a different thing too, because remember that scene too is really big in the Instagram. I want the most amount of likes.
Yeah.
So
that's where I was going with it.
That is a big thing in that because a lot of people they don't do it because they're in the car guys. Because guys,
it's just popularity.
Yes, guys, car modding itself has changed a bit. It is not just for the car enthusiasts. The average person can now see this and they want to mod their car, but they don't know what comes with modding cars.
They think it's a video interesting. Game. Like, you know, 10, 15 years ago, and I don't want to make this all about like, oh, back in my day, but
yeah,
it's odd to me that people will buy cars and mod them when they don't actually like thoroughly enjoy it and understand and want to learn about the cars, which I don't know. It's very strange. Is it only spurred on by, oh, well, I know that this could get me likes on Instagram or whatever it may be.
Impress the name. Yeah.
Like, somebody said it earlier, like, I build my car for me. It's not to impress you. That mentality has completely changed with younger generation.
Yeah, I'm trying to get as many likes on Instagram. Oh, this is, you know, think about it, this is going to blow up the internet today.
Yeah.
Like,
and it did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did. No, it did. Everyone's
that on. RX-8 video, everybody's seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It did exactly. Everybody's what seen he it.
Like
to
he like I would be curious to meet the guy and see if he's just like, it seems like a harebrained idea that we would come up with just to horse around.
Yeah, like let's on buy Mythbusters this or something.
Yeah, let's buy a vehicle and just in our whole goal of this vehicle is to break the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And if that was that guy's goal,
He did it.
But see, but like his video has been seen
by everybody.
Tens of thousands of times more than any video I've ever made.
Yeah. Well, see, and that's the thing too. He's done that, but it's crazy because the internet is so quick to forget too. The internet, it is. So, for instance, there was a Standstill 3800 like a few months ago.
No, that was like a year.
Was it a year ago? The red one. Yes, the red one.
That was scraped.
Super low.
Yeah.
So that car was super low and super crazy, and it blew up the internet for like a week.
Yep.
And then it moved on. Then it was gone.
Then it was gone.
But see, but that's how they got their 20 seconds of fame, got a lot of likes and stuff, and then they moved on. But, you know, so as sorry guys for ranting. We told you it was going to be rants to be sure. So
I mean, it's all community talk.
It is community talk. So guys, so we talked about a few things. Just to recap, so Mike, you can maybe use this later too for video. So we talked about having a base that will spend and invest in their vehicles long term. That's a very important part of it. Information spreading is another one that's very big in there. And a car community that represents itself well.
Represents, you know, and gets together.
Gets together, yeah.
Have patience for the new guy.
We've got to have the understanding and the fact of we've all been that teenager who thought spray painting my seat belts was cool. But there are definitely people who do.
Yeah. Yes, you're right.
But the whole thing is we can't just bash on people 100% because no matter what, hey man, I'm glad you like the car. Have you ever thought about doing this?
Yeah.
Or have you ever thought about doing this? That's how we learn. That's how we grow.
And that's why we try to make videos, you know, based on customer suggestions, stuff that we think about here at ZZP, but then also inquiries that we get often. You know, we were just talking about it earlier. We had a customer who put larger fuel injectors in their car and didn't tune them. If you don't know, you don't know.
Yeah.
So we have a video on, you know, why fuel injectors don't make more power, when you might need them. You know, we we love to make that stuff so we can put it out there.
Yep.
For everyone, for the community. You know, I was just talking last night about our video progression since I got here in 2018. I mean,
massive.
Before it used to be a video here and there, and you know, we don't have a marketing budget. We don't have a big investment into making these videos. It's literally Mike.
Yeah.
I love to pump out these videos that take people through the build process, and so they can watch them. And it all goes back to the end of the day of, I bought my car. What the heck do I do?
Yep.
I don't know. You know, you go on the website, and mm-hmm. I try to make product descriptions as thorough as possible. But if you don't
you
don't know.
Guys, please read the product descriptions.
Yeah, read the product description.
Please read them. I've had way too many questions. We go, are these spark plugs sold individually? It's in red letters. It's right below the add to cart button. Please just look down. Just know what you're getting.
But
just look at the title.
But yeah, so for everyone listening, you know, if you ever have an idea for a video, send it over. We love making them. I love posting them so people can actually watch them. And it's so much easier to link a video because people would much rather watch a video than read.
And if we send you guys a video, don't take it as an insult.
No, it's
just,
not.
Just take it as we can show you something in a video and explain it thoroughly through a video versus
in a short amount of time.
Yeah, versus me and you going back and forth on emails for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Only to just go in circles when this video could have answered everything that you didn't even know you wanted to know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So. Gordon Barclay, funny you say that. I changed out the windshield wipers on the Saab the other day.
Dude,
it is so good. Nice. And it rained today.
Underrated mod is new windshield wipers.
Oh my god.
Everybody, get new ones.
Oh, they take 2 seconds to put
it on. Oh, they're so good because when it rains, you...
And the Saab has auto wipers, which I never thought I would ever want.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh, they're good.
It's got the auto sensing wipers.
Yeah.
Even back in 2006, ahead of the time. Dang. But yeah, you just drive around and it's just...
Yeah. Ooh, and then when it's
throwing water at you.
Yeah. When it's like clean too and there's not no extra smears on it.
Oh,
and
you go, yeah.
Baby.
Yeah. And it doesn't
go. Yo, ergonomic stuff, low key top tier.
Oh yeah.
I said it. That stuff is
Hey, Hegdal, I'm botching it. Like, send me some pictures. Send us pictures because all of us want to see it. Like, I'm so into swapping. Ooh. Like ZZP platform swapping anything I'm in.
Oh yeah,
like,
I'm also curious on
Dan
a shortened.
Like, do you?
That thing's already pretty short.
Do you let old men sit in your cars when they look at them and smile at them? Because
that's a small wheelbase.
Hegdal, is it a like square body S10 or the newer or the latest gen? Because yeah, S10s are short already.
They're pretty short.
I mean, even the square body ones are pretty small trucks.
Oh,
I am curious.
On Tim's note, there's a guy, I think his Instagram name is like Nanook something, but he's got a LSJ blower S10 that he autocrosses.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It is so cool. And it's got a
not bad.
Sweet livery. It's like
Tyler said it right.
He's
hey,
got
no.
neon pink barrels on his wheels,
yeah.
And it's all like
yep.
neon
yeah,
stuff.
We read it. Like, see, that's the kind
that
of stuff.
That stuff is so cool.
That is the sweetest stuff.
We love
stuff.
It.
We all know I'm Team LNF, but honestly, I love LSJs too. But man, like doing stuff like that, doing a real build, like
well,
that's
he put the right engine in it.
No,
Bill
the
Kish,
wrong second best engine.
Bill
second.
Kish, I tried the whole in car video thing at Tail of the Dragon. It just, like, it blows me away. You're driving the car and you're like, I am going to die.
Yeah, yeah.
I am going to die.
And then
you
watch
the video and you're like,
this
so,
is boring.
So, yeah. So guys,
it looks
I will
so
say,
slow. Okay.
So
when,
slow.
When you are watching, road course racing is the most fun racing, but it is not a very good spectator sport.
Yep. No.
Because, when you are in a car, if you're like doing this, it's like, you don't feel
the
G-forces.
Yeah.
You don't
man.
Feel the violency of the car. Like, unless it's some wild drift video, you're not seeing all the stuff that's going on in there. Like,
I will say, this year when we go, we should try some low bumper mount GoPros.
Okay.
Because that's
force
the
perspective.
Yeah, that's the only thing that captures the speed.
The close road.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I got a perfect car for that.
Dude, I got a good one. What about rear mount GoPro footage looking underneath the car at tail?
Ooh,
how cool would that be?
To see the suspension?
Yeah, like and actually put it on a car and like do some like back forward facing, then maybe have one in your same position and do like a video that's like 2 minutes of like hardcore driving bouncing between the different footage.
I like it.
That might be pretty cool.
I'd be interested to just see the suspension articulate around those corners.
Oh, yes. Jeff.
It was one of my GoPros. I'm charging you.
don't worry, we'll attach a ripcord to it, so if it falls off it just bounces down the road.
It bounces down the road and shatters itself
for 11 miles. Jeff Gordon sent us a video a couple years ago from the original prototype ZZP coilovers on autocross, and it was so super killer that it was dope. So yeah, we'll try and do that.
A 95 S10, I don't remember what body style is. Is that the round one?
Yeah, that's the
like the when did the round one start?
Like 93, 94,
okay,
I think.
Okay, yeah. So that's like my favorite S10, so I'm in.
I was just looking.
Send us pictures.
I had an S10 Blazer.
Yep.
Same thing, except I did the exact opposite you did. I jacked that thing up. It was probably about 9 inches taller than factory.
Jeez. I was just looking last night. I was showing T-Spain my first Saturns, actually in the Rite Aid parking lot where we used to do the meets in high school. But I was just walking through the photos, and one of my good buddies in high school had an S10 SS, which was the high output version of the V6.
That was a thing?
Oh, yeah. And it was a step side, and he had it lowered on 20s.
Wait, an SS, not a Extreme?
An SS.
Oh, man. I don't even know about that.
It was really low production, surprising. Oh, yeah. Like you never see them. You never see any S10s
basically
over
like
here.
A Typhoon.
All step sides?
No, okay. The step
and
side,
and it's not an SSR.
No, it's an S10 SS. It was a thing.
I have no idea.
Yeah, yeah, that's something we should have got into.
There's like five of them out there. What are you talking about, Tyler?
Back 10 years ago when I was working here still, obviously, I wanted a 3800 swap and S10, that body style, like really bad.
Yeah.
And the thing was, is like when I was looking at them, they're really cheap because the rear axles blow out in them all the time. So what I wanted to do is I wanted an S10 Extreme. And then I wanted to put like a 3800 in it with like the F body, you know, rear drive tranny, and then like put like a rear axle, like a real axle.
GM
in it.
Has really like, missed the mark on cool.
Paul,
trucks.
Get out of here.
Paul, no one likes goblins. Go away.
I want
to get it. We get it. Your go kart is fast that you put a cobalt engine back up. Get out of here, guy. Paul ruined a perfectly good LSJ to put in a goblin.
Paul Clark has the coolest goblin on the planet.
Justin's
I'm going to say that.
Cooler.
I don't know. I need to see.
I love both of them.
It depends on if you like bright colors or not.
Yeah. No, I love both of them.
Like
Paul Sky is cool. I love Paul Sky.
Is cool
Paul Sky
I've
is
seen a couple
top,
of photos.
Top Liddy Titty McShitty. That's the only car that so far has beat Snowball at, you know, especially hard parking a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. But GM has so missed the mark on cool trucks. S10, they could have done with a 3800.
Yeah.
Colorado. Imagine a Colorado SS with an LF4 in it. Cool would that
I be? Want a Cadillac XT4, XT5 with an LF4
V-Sport?
In it. A V-Sport one like right here, right now.
GM. I know
they're not going
to
listen.
No
to
one is listening to no us from GM. But bring back cool versions
never,
of whatever
they just
the garbage
want,
you're making now.
They just want to let you know Ford and Mopar beat them and with cool cars
into the ground.
Into the ground.
Give
and
me a special. Give me a special edition K5 Blazer.
Yeah,
brand new 2026 K5 Blazer. That's what I want.
I've been seeing a lot of people talking about modifying old platforms. Like, I don't foresee us going backwards in time. It's too hard to keep up with our current ones. So, like, the Sunfires, the Cavaliers, like, I just don't foresee us making anything for those.
Yeah,
we all appreciate them. Like, there's not too many more cars that we would love to have as a Beretta, you know, GTZ or the Indy model. Like, I mean, they are cool. And, like, Sunfires are cool. Like, you know, all those cars are cool.
There's
but
actually a lot of fast Cavaliers.
There are a ton of them.
Yeah.
With LSJs in them.
Yeah, with LSJs in them.
Hey, Hegdahl, so, Tim's email is tim@zzperformance.com if you want to send him some pictures. No, he asked for it. He literally asked for it. So.
Definitely.
Bo and Tesh, keep that 5-cylinder in your Colorado. That is one of the best-sounding engines that GM has ever made. The 3800 with an equalizer does sound pretty dang good, but the 5-cylinder Atlas engine.
Yeah. So, Bowen Test just said something that I do want to touch on just hot second before we go. So, guys, and we were kind of just talking about it, but what makes a good community is people that actually want to mod the cars.
Yes.
While we do understand that you may want to mod your 3900 or your 3.5, and all that stuff, unfortunately, it is not prudent for ZZ Performance to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in R&D to make a part for five people. And the other people will never buy any parts. We have to have a full community of hundreds and hundreds of people
that will buy thousands
of people that will actually buy the parts. That's why we, unfortunately, are not planning to do LFX stuff as of this time. I'm sorry. What's the only one's LFX, right? What's the LGX?
LFX, LGX,
yeah.
The NA3.
Yeah, the A3. So we have no plans for that. However, we do have parts that cross over, like our suspension for 300s, like our W body coilovers and the Impalas. They cross over to 13 or 14.
Yeah, we all love weird cars here. We wish that we could buy all of them and make parts for all of them. But we can't.
I mean, you,
and it stinks.
And the customers who ask us, like, hey, would you do this one off? It's like, sure, but you're going to pay the regular hourly rate for labor for 3 weeks of R&D time.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Well, $100 an hour for, I don't know, 250 hours?
Yeah.
You want to pay that?
You're
welcome to.
You do not want to do that.
And
there are plenty of companies out there that are willing to build one-off projects and are set up to do that.
Yeah.
We just can't.
We can't. We're like supporting 40 employees.
Our R&D department is busy trying to develop new stuff for all the platforms we currently have or improving old stuff. Like,
our company mission is go fast, not broke.
So if
you got a one-off build, you're looking at $50,000. You know?
We go fast, not broke for sure.
Yeah. I wanted to grab real quick, Jason Spelich. I saw you commented way earlier if I've ever been to Daly's. I have. It's a great place over in the Detroit area. Anyway.
So quick, so guys, we're running out of time.
Recap.
So, Two things from each of us. What are two things? We'll go across. Start with you, T-Span. What are two things that need to happen to build a community?
So we need to understand where people are at when they're in their beginning phases.
Mm-hmm.
Secondary thing, we can't tear people down for their opinions or lack of knowledge. We have to help inform them.
Yeah.
And if they don't want to listen to them, I'm sorry, we agree differently. Good luck on your build.
Important. I think the internet has turned us all anti that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, as a whole.
Yep.
You know, not specifically us.
Yep.
Yeah, just in general.
Tyler, what about you?
So my biggest thing, and I've said it before, is getting out there and meeting people.
Yes, meets are huge.
You know, I'm a people person. I love to talk to people. This is the whole reason we are sitting here every Friday at 4 p.m. We love to ramble about these stupid cars that we mod every week, and I love to meet everyone. You know, you got a base model, you've got an ATS-V, it doesn't matter. I want to talk to you.
Absolutely.
Get out there.
Show us your cars.
Show us your cars. Be a part of what makes all of this great and brings us joy.
Yep.
So that's one thing. Second thing, it's got to be, there has to be potential.
Yes.
In whatever platform you're building.
Yes.
You know, it's, people have said it, and, you know, a lot of folks ask us, oh, what about this swap in this platform? Well, that platform didn't come with a good base engine.
Yep.
So we're not going to go after it. Yeah, you can swap anything into anything with a fuel tech and all this random stuff. But I think the base car or the base platform, whatever you're working on, is very important.
Agreed.
And then, you got to have the people that want to do it.
Yep. So for me, it is, you got to have people that take, I'm going to say this kind of goes out there, you got to have pride in your cars. I feel like that's what a lot of us are lacking. To me, having pride in the car will show and make a good representation for everyone out there, because you never know what young guy is about to buy a car and say, man, that car is really stupid clean. You know, I want to buy that car because this guy had a clean red, you know, SS, you know, LSJ that he's been keeping up for 10 years now.
Yeah.
You know, like having pride in your platform, having pride in the platform and then being knowledgeable about it are two very important things. And then number two, you have to want to spend money on the platform too.
Yeah,
like you said earlier, Tyler, you got people that want to build the crazy higher end ones to have you to go towards something.
Yep, something to reach for.
Yeah, something to reach for, something to say, well, I'm going to do this like this guy did. I'm going to do this. I'm going to try this. And not turn your nose up anytime asking for, you know, stuff is like that. So
yeah,
that's one for me. What about you, Sim?
I'm one last in line, so it's the hardest.
Yeah.
I guess mine is kind of a variant of, you know, what Ryan and Tyler said, is that, you know, our whole mantra or whatever is go fast, not broke. So we can't afford to invest into a community to where we're going to sell 3 motor swaps for your, you know, whatever vehicle.
Yeah.
You know, we have to sell hundreds of each product.
Yeah.
Hundreds of each product to, like, make a profit. And so that just requires a lot of people modifying that vehicle. So, like, you know, all what you guys said, I'm in.
Yep.
Like, my other ideas were already stolen.
Yeah.
You're fine. Hey.
But
Dan North said it best. Just go drive your car.
Drive your car.
Yep.
Go ahead. Just
have
go
fun.
Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, like, respect your vehicle.
Yes.
Know your limit. Know your budget.
Yes.
Like, don't lose your girlfriend because you're spending every dime on your car. Like,
yep.
Don't like overdrive your car on your 10-year-old freaking all seasons and like put it
Grand
in the
Prix
ditch. Guys. Like, you know your vehicle and respect yourself and your life and
yeah.
Like, man, we all just want to have the best life and enjoy the most.
Remember,
like,
this is a hobby. It is a sport.
Yeah.
It's something we love to do. Keep it in perspective. Be healthy about it. Make the right choices.
Yeah.
We will be here for you when you're ready, but yeah.
And yeah, don't hesitate to email us.
Yeah.
We love talking about this stuff.
Yep.
We love spewing all this information that we've learned over the years.
Yep.
So email us. Even I have customers all the time that are like, oh, I'm sorry for all the questions. I'm sorry for the stupid questions. I don't care.
Brad
Keyes
is the number one. Brad is a joy to message. He has questions. He listens. And then if, you know, he's not coming and yelling at me first thing Monday morning, he's usually talking. By the way, Brad, I got, guys, Tyler has been saying he has a tweeter for me for like 4 months.
I knew it was going to happen.
He found out like 2 days ago that he didn't actually have a tweeter. And Brad Keyes came through for the homie.
He did.
Brad Keyes sent me the tweeter. A day later, I've been asking this guy that works next to me. I've been friends with like 10 years.
I went up into the attic.
Oh my
and
God.
I found 4 cobalt door panels. Not a single one had a tweeter.
Oh, my God.
They didn't even have the corner piece at the top. I think I had robbed them all of their tweeters.
So the man's got a part shop without the parts.
Oh, I have an entire cobalt in that garage. Maybe 2
not,
or 3.
Not tweeters, evidently.
Not tweeters.
All right, boys.
All right.
We what are we doing this weekend?
Yeah, real quick. T, what you doing?
I'm putting my car back together.
Subaru!
Hopefully getting it back on the road.
Heck yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. I don't know. Cleaning up the garage, hopefully.
Woo! No plans.
No plans.
Ryan Diaz, these people won't be here next week. I'm going to Disney World with my son and my mom and a few other friends. So I will not be here this week. Don't email me. email somebody else.
With him gone, be patient.
Yes.
I'm the only one answering phones.
Please be patient with T-Spray in there. So I'm going to rest up, and I kind of hurt my back a little bit and try not to make that even worse.
All right. I just have F1 and probably Queen in the garage.
Yeah.
Lewis Hamilton!
Ferrari, yeah.
Well, when he's going to go to Ferrari, he's going to win. So, I mean, whatever team he's on is the team I'm on.
This year's going to be boring.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's just Max.
Max Verstappen.
It's
no,
just
no
Max.
One cares about Max.
You know what? I was telling my wife, because my wife's pretty passionate about it, and she's pretty upset with Max. I was like, you just have to forget about place one.
Yeah,
and just
you
look
do.
At the rest of the field.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Max is up there 30 seconds ahead. That's fine. What about the number two?
The
and
two
all
through
the
five
guys?
Spots last race was a pretty interesting
You
got to
look at where the race is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, forget it. Like, so, you know, they got a thing.
Do you ever think, like I was watching last week's, and Max was ahead by 30 plus seconds.
Yeah.
So he wasn't.
He has the best car,
he wasn't
whatever.
Anywhere close to the rest of the field. Do you ever think he gets done and is like, man, I didn't get any screen time because I was. Because they don't follow him.
Yeah.
They'll randomly pop to him and be like, well, there he is out front. Okay, back to the actual
that guy,
interesting race.
It's funny because Max will talk on the radio about watching the billboards showing clips of other people racing.
Yeah.
Like, it's
forget
hilarious.
You, Max. No one likes you.
Yeah.
He has gotten more mature,
it's funny.
Which I appreciate.
Well, maybe.
Yeah,
I'll have to see because I didn't like him when in Drive to Survive because he was douche waffle.
Yeah.
Anyway. Guys, thank you so much for listening to us guys rant and talk and BS all day. Yep. We hope you guys have a safe, good weekend, and we'll see you next week.
And go drive a car.
Go drive a car.
Cool.
Unless it's snowing. Don't drive a car.